It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Absolutely. We were going to eat, and now we're not.
And now we won't.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network, thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I do three new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Mayer. Today, I get to catch up with Ali and AJ. It's only since been just 2 years ago when they put out A Touch of the Beat. So now they've got a new record, With Love From. We're going to be talking about how much of this record was born from their extensive touring in the past couple years, how their pop background is always lurking in their songwriting, as well as using folks like Linda Ronstadt and Bonnie Raitt as touchstones for this new set. They're also going to tell us about having filmmaker Terrence Malick give his seal of approval on one of the new tracks, having Joya Ladekin as a guest, and their thoughts on one of the most, I'll say, scandalous lyrics on the LP, at least one of the most curious anyway. So let's talk about With Love From. It's Kyle Meredith with Ali and AJ.
Hi.
What's up?
The last time we saw you, we were at the little, like the acoustic thing that we did, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, here in town.
Yeah, that's right.
It's great to see you both again. I don't feel like it's been all that long since you guys were just in Louisville for a show. But it's time for a new record already.
I know, we're fast. We didn't expect that we would be putting out a new album this soon, but it just happened, and so we're rolling with it.
At this point, it feels like one continuous cycle. Like, we never even took a cycle break. Our team is like, okay, the train is still moving, and there's new material. So yeah, it was not very long ago we last spoke with you.
Yeah, because that's sort of half the, I mean, because there was so much time of not albums, and then you guys are, you're making it for lost time, I guess this is what this sure. really amounts to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. You can call it that. And I think just on a roll, inspired by, I think, being on the road, touring. I think just seeing the outpouring of love over A Touch the Beat, I think that inspired us to continue to just dive deeper into that sound. So that's where With Love From came from, for sure.
You can tell, by the way, it feels like right away that this is a record that, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, to me it seems like you were finally afforded something that you've never had the luxury of before, which was spending all of this time on tour. Like, this record sounds more realized, I guess. And I say that even as much of a fan as I was of A Touch of the Beat, like, this one sounds like, this might be the obvious question, but is that where this really comes from? Just from all of that time spent on the road?
I do think so. I think that us playing live only betters our musicianship, our songwriting skills, our vocals, our taste. in terms of, you know, production. I think that we approached this record more like a band, because we've always felt like, okay, we know we're a duo, but like, we're not a band, you know, it's just the two of us. And for some reason, we've always kind of yearned for a larger grouping of people that are contributing to ideas. Mm-hmm. And so we really leaned into the musicians that we had come back to record these songs live. And we also, you know, I think just playing with our own band that come out on the road with us, I think that helped us look at these songs in a new and different way, because we played some of these songs live out on the road before the record was like mixed and mastered. And then we ended up going back, funny enough, and changing some production actually on With Love From the first single, all because of the way we were playing it live. It felt like we weren't doing it justice in the way that we had initially recorded it. So we literally did like a recall on that song and gave everybody a heart attack on our team. But it just shows that playing these songs live was so important for us. And even if, you know, we didn't do changes on every single song with production after the fact, I think it's really given us this immense understanding behind these songs and the best way to play them live. And I'm so grateful that they came about the way they did, and that we were able to work with the collaborators that we worked with on A Touch the Beat again for this.
So your intuition was spot on.
Yeah, very spot on.
Well, you really can hear it. You really can hear it. And even when I listen to this album, especially, and I mean, you guys have come so far in your recording careers. I mean, it definitely seems like there's a hard line in the sand of the past and the present. Was like, have you all had to unlearn how to make an album in this way?
It's interesting. Yeah, a little
bit. You know, for Allie and I, because we're fans of so many different types of music, we tend to write, you know, electronic 80s pop one day, and then we'll write, you know, something that
like
feels
90s
more
rock the next.
90s rock. And that, so for us, it's a matter of like, you know, stay clear about what the vision is for this record. I do agree that Allie and I have a pop sensibility in us because we've been writing for so long and started at such a young age, and most of that genre landed in the pop space. So I feel like it's still, as much as our music, we've drawn a line in the sand from what Allie and AJ used to be to what we are now. I still feel like we pull from our pop sensibilities to draw people in with important hooks and a moment where, you know, this is where people need to be grabbed. And what does that mean for the live performance? And how does the bridge feel here? And those kind of things, I do believe, come from a pop background. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that Allie and I really honor the taste and the style and the authenticity of the record we're focused on currently making, which I think With Love From did, but also be okay with bringing in elements that put a spotlight on where Allie and I really are strong as songwriters, which is heavily in the pop space. Mm-hmm. I think now it's become this like, triumphant return for our music in a way that has told me our songwriting actually is way farther in the direction of, you know, Americana, folk, rock than it ever has been. But we had even that as kids. So we're kind of leaning into where we really found ourselves on the first album we ever made. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Allie and AJ. Right from the very first song, I'm open to something. I mean, those sounds that you're talking about, all of those sounds, like You know, last time, we were talking about Laurel Canyon in the 70s and everything. And I still feel like there is that 70s lushness to some of these songs, especially right there at the beginning, a little bit later on Blue Dress. But like, but it doesn't feel like Laurel Canyon anymore, though. You know, it's like there's a little Linda Ronstadt or something like that happening. Like, what were the benchmarks, if any, this time around?
That's a really good question. I think some of the songs, at least, that felt like, okay, these are really important chapters in our storytelling of this record, was songs like Blue Dress, which was very early on, and we kind of knew immediately we want this song to be on the record. We want it to be a song that we focus a single around. I think we also got that moment with 6 months of Staring Into the Sun, which is the last song on the record and kind of bookends everything, I think, really beautifully. And then I think, you know, having songs like After Hours and Tear the Night Up, which I think are somewhat similar in their energy, we wanted, you know, to be able to still bring that, like, kind of, you know, up-tempo, like, you want to, like, dance with your friend and have a drink and a good time. We wanted to bring that energy to the record and not make it feel sleepy. Even though we have these songs that are a little bit more introspective and quiet, like Blue Dress, like 6 months, like Way of Nature. And I think it was important for us to have an array of tempos that felt like they all made sense together, but you weren't getting the same song over and over and over again. I think the one song that to me stands out a bit, or at least feels like the most touch the beat, is a song called Talking in My Sleep, which I really like. And we actually wrote it with our collaborators that made our very first record. So they made Into the Rush with us. They're an Australian couple. We recently reconnected with them over the pandemic, and we wrote Talking in My Sleep with them over the course of, like, I want to say, like, a day and a half. And I think that song gives kind of a great flavor to the record, because it's still in our musical bed that we've kind of built, but it's like dabbling a little bit in that, like, pop sensibility of a touch the beat. It kind of feels like a 1975 type of track.
Right. And it's funny, because I agree that the last record really touched on our time in the canyon, because we've now lived here as adults, and Allie's now married living here, and I live across the street, and there's a lot of canyon wonderful energy, but also not everyone can relate to what the canyon is. So I think Touch of the Beat is beautiful, because we hopefully gave people a taste of what it would be like if they understood it or they could visit. Mm. But I also feel like with Love From almost opens up a little more space for people to understand, you know, okay, maybe I'm driving through Missouri, maybe I'm driving through Texas, maybe I'm driving through the dustpan. You know, it's a record that, to me, like you said, hopefully kind of captures what a Linda Ronstadt has done, or a Bonnie Raitt, or the Judds. You know, those are people that have been kind of touchstones of this album, to answer that part of your question.
I will say, it seems like it's probably impossible, for all the obvious reasons, to not completely get away from that California cool, because that's still in there. There's still a little bit, you know, snaking its way around there. Yeah.
That'll never go.
That'll always be in there. But I think, I think we did want to make it feel like a record that felt like it was traveled. Like, it felt that it had been places, and that it wasn't just the West Coast, that it was kind of this love letter to wherever you might be in the world.
Yeah. Which is what our tour also.
Yeah. Very much. It symbolizes.
Every night we're in a different city. So how do we make that feel like an album? Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I wrote it down. It feels like a soundtrack in a lot of ways. I mean, even going from I'm Open to Something to the title track with Love From. I mean, even the way lyrically it speaks to each other, you know, the mood, like I don't know why I'm thinking about it in such a cinematic, but maybe it's the travel log that you're talking about. Like, it's a road movie or whatever, but it's a movie somehow in my head.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally. For sure. For us, if we could label any director on, you know, this record, it would be Terrence Malick. It's made the With Love From film.
Yes,
that we just soundtracked.
That would be a dream.
Yeah.
That would
be. You all brought him up too on what Way of Nature, Way of Grace. When there's some, what is it, an inspirational connection or an actual connection?
It's kind of both. AJ, you can describe it.
Yeah, well, Allie and I, it's funny, it was in Allie's notes. She had this title down. I wish Terrence Malick knew who I was. Is that what
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, or knew I existed or something.
Or knew I existed. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I was like, I don't know, maybe we don't mention his name in the title, but I think this could be something that we draw from. You know, we were in Nashville at the time writing with a friend of ours, Thad Cockrell, mm-hmm. who's really talented and someone I met.
With Leagues, right?
Yeah, that's right. Leagues. Yeah. With Leagues. And him and I had been talking about our mutual love for Terrence as well as Allie's. And being in Nashville and writing with them, we were like, maybe we just write something that feels very inspired by some of the words that Terrence has put into his films. So whether that was, you know, a line from a script or something that he had maybe said in an interview, even though he never gives interviews, so we couldn't find that. We were like, well, let's pull from his screenwriting. And, you know, we took some parts and then created what we believe was kind of an ode to our love for him, but also as much of a song as we could give, as opposed to like, this is going to just sound like a screenplay. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, because I happen to know someone that is a producing partner of his, I was able to actually get the song to Terrence, and he was able to kind of sign off on the fact that Allie and I were using some words from his actual screenplays, and he was very supportive of it and really loved the song. So to me, getting that stamp of approval and being able to
cool.
Honor him and also write a song that really truly felt like how Allie and I picture the way we feel when we watch his films was really inspiring.
And he knows he exists.
And he knows we exist. So, I mean, check, double check.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Allie and AJ. And have Joy on there. Joy Ledekin on there. I mean, who, by the way, is suddenly, I feel like, everywhere and just completely crushing it. You all sound great together. How did you all meet? Where does that relationship come from?
Well, we realized that we were playing Lollapalooza on the same day, and I forget who DM'd first, but it was something like we were playing at the same time, so we weren't able to see each other's shows. And we were like, we really wanted to see your set. And she was like, I wanted to see your set. And we just kind of had this like little DM friendship. And then when we were in Nashville to write with Thad and a couple other people, we messaged her and we're like, we know you're from here and you live here. Do you want to like grab a bite to eat? So we went out and got ramen. And I think it was the last night that we were in Nashville. And we just, you know, talked about music and what was on the horizon. And we were like, you know, maybe there's a song that we could collaborate on together in the future. And she was like, yeah, totally. So this song came up. Thad's a big fan of Joy. And we mentioned this would be a really great song for Joy to sing on. And he was like, honestly, that would be such a dream. So we sent her, funny enough, the first song that we sent her was Open to Something. We thought we were originally gonna have her sing on that song. And then as time went on, we were like, actually, I think Way of Nature would be really cool for her to be on that song.
And just knowing to her love for gospel and growing up in the church, like Allie and I, like knowing what she's into and understanding her vocal quality, I was like, I think Way of Nature, Way of Grace makes a lot of sense.
So we pivoted and sent her that. And she was like, yeah, I'll lay down some guitar or vocals, whatever you want. And she sent back, you know, some harmonies and her verse and singing in the choruses, and it was beautiful. And we just dropped it into the song and we were like, this was so easy. But we've never had a feature before, which, you know, I don't know if there was a specific reason that we never did when we were younger. I think it was more that we just thought that we were enough, that we didn't need, you know, another vocalist on there. And we kind of blend so specifically, that, you know, we weren't searching for that. But for this song, I think it's really beautiful. And I think also being able to lift up a Black artist who's having like a real moment is like such an honor for us, because we listen to her music. We think she's so awesome and
such an incredible person.
And she's just such a like bright, like ball of sunshine. So I think it's really cool when people happen to be fans of each other's music and then they find each other in the ether and you're like, wait, these are like the good parts of the internet that aren't evil.
Totally.
I'd love hearing, especially the collaboration, but really where those lyrics come from too. I written down a lyric on here and it goes back to Blue Dress, because that line, I don't care who you've been with, is just one of those lines that's sort of like, what now? I mean, it's just a punch straight in the gut.
I'm sorry, what?
We were joking.
That's so
we were joking
funny.
That there's like a version of that song that's like, I care who you've been with
and I need to know who they are
right now. That's very funny.
Yeah, if we're really, I don't think I could ever actually say that to someone. So to me, this song is a confidence that I wish I had. Mm-hmm. If I had the security to say, I don't care who you've been with, I don't care about your past, I would love that. And a lot of the time our music draws out something in us that we can't accomplish ourselves. Yeah. And I love that about that song. So personally, no, I wouldn't be able to stand by that. But that's what I love about the lyric, because it embodies, I'm putting on a dress when I'm singing it. You know, it's like not something I would ever really be able to commit to.
Well, and the blue dress in itself is a bit of a symbol, because we all kind of have our version of a blue dress that we put on for our friends, our lover, you know, our society that we live in. And that's kind of, I think that can be a beautiful thing, but it can also be something too that is such a shame, because it feels like we need to prove ourselves, or we need to prove our worth for someone's love. And sometimes we're just enough exactly how we are, and that we shouldn't have to care about someone's baggage, about someone's past that they're bringing into this new relationship or this new friendship. And so I think Blue Dress touches on a subject that a lot of people don't really want to talk about, because we kind of put on this mask in society that we feel like we need to wear, because it's the only way that we've been kind of told we're supposed to live. But it doesn't mean that that's the best and most healthy way to enjoy life. And so Blue Dress, I think, is a symbol of that. And I think it's one of the strongest songs on the record. And I think it'll have the ability to mean a lot to us many years down the line, which I can't say about every song we write, but I have a feeling with that song it will.
Yeah, and I do feel like Allie and I, at least the way we look at these songs, because they're all so important to us, but I feel like Blue Dress is now the Pretty Places of what Pretty Places to Touch the Beat is Blue Dress to With Love From, really.
And it like builds a character. You know, I talk about, you know, the soundtrack of the movie in my head as I'm listening to this, and I mean, it builds an actual character, like in almost like a traditional, like Loretta Lynn could have written about this person. And this person isn't far off from being in a Johnny Cash song in a very dark moment. You know, it's
I think beautiful. Songs like Blue Dress and Open to Something, those were actually written, I want to say this, maybe like 2 days apart,
very much back to back. Yeah.
And when we wrote those songs, we were kind of talking about like those classic country songs, like you were saying, you know, with Loretta Lynn, that you're just like, damn, this is such a good song. Like, these lyrics are so solid. It gives you such a picture of where this person is in their mind and the place that they're in emotionally. How can we do that with an Allie and AJ song? Even though I do feel like we are, you know, specific in our lyrics, I feel like we don't always paint a very visceral picture in that kind of way that we did with Blue Dress or with Open to Something. And so that was really our goal between those two songs. And we wrote it with Ryan Spraker, who we wrote Slow Dancing with, and a bunch of other songs too, but he's a big country fan. And he was like, oh, we're going down a YouTube rabbit hole right now, and we're looking up all these great country tunes.
We almost had him playing the banjo on it, and we were like, no,
we were
like,
we were ready to just go all in.
But Pedal Steel Live, which is really fun.
But we're really enjoying, I think, just kind of dipping our toe into this new pond in terms of a little bit of country, a little bit of folk, you know, leaning into the Americana choices that we made with this record. It feels really good.
It really does feel like a sweet spot for you all. I mean, not to comment on the blue dress, but the clothes fit you well in this type of music.
Thank you.
You know, I really am. I love what you all do. You know, I'm a fan. This record With Love From is so good. I mean, I love the last one. I think you've outdone it with this one. It's so good. And it's so great to talk to you both too. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it again.
That really means a lot. You have great really music taste, so we really appreciate it.
Amazing taste.
So we'll see y'all around. Take care.
Bye.
See ya. My thanks to Allie and AJ. The new album is called With Love From. And you can dive deeper into the podcast and find our 2021 interview as well, if you're looking for more of our conversation. Thanks to you, though, for checking out this episode, at least. I do hope, again, you hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You'll get new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 a week, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith, so I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Your words mean a lot. Thanks so much, Kyle, for this interview.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.